Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with me, I have my eldest brother, Taj Jackson. You should be on.
Oh, it's muted. No, okay.
Okay, you're on mic 3 for some reason. Okay, the mic got turned
around. Panicked a little.
Okay, now you're on, man. We are live on the Power of Love show. So if you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in the show, we will open up and we'll answer some comments and questions from Twitter. Uh-huh. But you can always tweet, ask us, contribute to our show. That's always open. You can always call us as well. And that phone number to call us is 323-203-0815. If you want to tweet us, that Twitter handle is at the letters DDJ Foundation. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who've experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions and attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. Taj Jackson, today's date is September 4. It's still hot.
It is really hot.
We're going through a heat wave.
Like hot. It feels a little humid, too. Which is
a little muggy?
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going through a heat wave, but I really don't think we can complain considering
what everyone else
is going through, especially with the hurricane Dorian that is impacting the East Coast. So our prayers are with everyone who is dealing with that. We are praying for your safety and your security, and hopefully all will go okay for you. Taj Jackson?
Yes.
We always start the show off talking about the week.
Yeah, that's what I was on my phone for. I'm trying to figure out what I did. I know it was Labor Day. I don't think...
Yeah, did you do anything Labor Day?
No.
Would you say Labor Day is the holiday where it's American holiday, but would you say it's the least, quote-unquote, celebrated?
Well, I think just people like that day off.
No, because there's President's Days and stuff where you get off, right, Bank?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all government stuff are closed on President's Day and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
All the days honestly seem the same to me.
But this actually,
I'm not in school.
Now that I think about it, you know, you got your Halloween, Christmas, all that stuff. But Labor Day, after Independence Day, Labor Day has some kind of a theme, right?
Because I think people travel, don't they?
Sometimes. On Labor Day?
Yeah.
It's a big travel.
That's one of those travel holidays. Like, there's certain ones that are travel holidays, and that's one of them.
You know what I think it is, Taj? What? I think it's the fact that people are going off to school.
Ah, this is colleges. Last hurrah kind of thing.
So think about it. All these freshmen who are starting college, it's their chance for their parents to say or to check in on them if they've already started weeks ago.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think that's the timing of the holiday, I think, contributes to that. But did you do anything?
I don't remember doing anything, TJ, unfortunately, on during that time period, that week, that I can talk about.
Okay. Well, that's always exciting for you.
I mean, maybe if you say something.
What did I do? I've just been traveling, working.
Yeah, you've been traveling a lot. Man. So you have something to say. I know.
I sure do.
So why don't you say something?
Well, I was in France, which is every time I go, I'm falling more and more in love with France.
Ooh,
yeah, it's really cool. Did a video, which was a lot of fun. Quick, easy, came right back. And then I was in Corona for a bit.
Were you jet lagged?
No.
Really?
Yeah, you know
what? A professional.
Yeah.
I taught you well.
You know what it is, Taj? And I leave tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to the East Coast tonight for two days. But I think what it is I can sleep well quickly.
Ah, okay.
Once my head hits the pillow,
you're gone.
I'm gone.
Yeah.
I could go
to
sleep.
You did that on the plane too, didn't you?
A little bit.
Yeah, that bothers me.
A little bit. Like tonight, I definitely will at least try.
Uh-huh.
But there's so much to do now on the planes. You can watch Netflix.
There's a lot to do.
I got emails I always go through. So, but yeah, it's been busy for me as my song comes out Friday, which I'm excited for.
Yeah.
What
time are you dropping it at?
Taj, I guess that's all on the system now.
Oh, okay, so it depends. Yeah, so just check it out on Friday. Just keep.
Yeah, I think it's going to be midnight. I think that's the general thing.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, it's been fun.
Where can people find it?
Everywhere. Okay. Better be everywhere.
No, let us know if you can.
It's all definitely all digital platforms.
Yeah.
I didn't put in much of a focus yet on physical stores, because I didn't, you know, it's new. You know? What's interesting, Taj, is when we were starting out, we were signed to Sony, and so the whole landscape of the industry was different.
Completely changed.
You know, there's Tower Records, there's music stores, HMV.
Yeah.
That's the one in Europe. And what's the other one?
There's a Virgin Mega store.
Virgin Mega store.
I mean, they're probably still.
What's the big one in France?
Fnac?
Taj, you come through, man.
Hey, man.
Fnac, right?
Yeah,
Fnac. I don't know if we're saying it right, but
Fnac,
nowadays those aren't as
prominent.
They're not as prevalent, you know. They're not around as much. So, but you know, I'm an oldie, so I still like the physical copies. But I think that's something we'll do later on.
Yeah.
But Taj, that's been my week. You talked about your week very shortly, but before we get into a topic, I want to send a prayers and love to LaShawn Daniels' family. LaShawn Daniels is someone that has always been around, at least, I got to be careful how I say it, because I've met him several times, and he was a big and prominent person in my uncle's career towards the end of his career. And he was just a very beautiful man and a very, just a very good hearted person. And he leaves behind, he lost his life in a car accident. And he leaves behind three kids, and a wife. And I thought about us, you know, the three kids. And it's just going to be a tough road for them. But just wanted to send love and let them know we are always here, however we can help. So to LaShawn Daniels' family, we love you and strong support. Taj, is there anything you want to talk about before I get into the topic?
No, I don't. There's no rant today. There could be easily a rant. I don't know why I'm feeling a rant, but let's save it. I'm in a good mood right now.
Okay. Well, there's something I do want to talk about.
Do it.
And I think we touched on this a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago on a show, and I think it was with you. And what I want to talk about is I often wake up. It wasn't on the show, but I got it. I often have been waking up with fear.
What do you mean by that?
So, and I'm wondering if I'm alone on this. So any callers, please contribute to this. Taj, I'm curious to know what you think. But as time goes on, I wake up more like just worried. Just worried that my loved ones are okay, that everyone's okay. I'm concerned that I check my phone and I'm going to get a text about something. That's going to negatively, you know, impact me because it's a loved one that's not okay. And I'm curious to know, first of all, I feel like it's getting worse and worse, but I'm curious to know if you ever go through that or if you've been going through that.
No, I've gone through that before. It's just not like all at one time, but it quickly leaves me because there's certain things that you can control and there's certain things that you can't, that you realize are just hindering you. And that's one of the things. If I really can't control, like if it's out of my, you know, then I have to just, I'm very good at letting it go.
So when you're sleeping.
Yeah.
And you wake up.
And I've had a dream about someone.
Not even a dream. When you check your phone.
Yeah.
There's not an ounce of you that's like, oh, please be, everyone be okay.
No. What scares me about that, and we have a system, is if there's a phone call late at night.
Yeah.
If we get a phone call past 2 or 3 from one of the brothers or a family member, you better start that with, everything's okay. But yeah. I just want to everything.
Why is that? Is that because of how we lost our mother?
We got a phone call late at night from mom, and I think that was the scenario.
And that will stick with us.
Yeah. And it's just, it's never, because that's not the time when people should be calling you.
And I'm wondering if, I was going to say regular people, but I wonder if people who didn't lose their parent or a loved one in the middle of the night.
They would just think it was
odd. He must not be able to sleep.
Yeah, or something like that. Or why is he calling? Yeah. But for us, it's
so
panic.
True. Because if I got a call, and it's happened, you know, Pop's being on the other side of the world and I'm not knowing he's there.
Yeah.
And the phone will ring at 3.
Yeah, and you're like, what? Yeah.
And I'm answering it, you know. And I don't know if this is age related. I don't know, as I get older, if, you know, I feel like there's a wave over my head or like a subconscious theme that says as I get older, you got to expect more and more loss.
Well, there is more and more loss around you.
Exactly. So I don't know if that's playing a role in my more on edge for fear. And again, it's all fear based on others and my loved ones' health, safety, and well-being. And I was very curious to know if anyone else goes through that. So you don't, though.
It's not that I don't. It's just I let it go right away. I immediately let it go because it's interesting. Those kind of things, like just fear of anything in terms of for me, I don't hold on to fear very much. I mean, I don't know. Like yeah. I had when 3T started, I had a huge fear of flying. Yes. And I made it. I just said, well, something's going to have to go, whether it's the career or the flying. And I just said, okay, I can't be scared anymore. Like I literally mentally said that. I said, I have to just give it up to control of, you know, loss of control.
See, I mean, when I'm in my most awakened state, when I'm conscious,
yeah.
Fear doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know? Really? No, it's when it's like a mid-conscious thing where that
sneaks in.
Where I feel like it's something wrong. And I didn't think about it, Taj, but I think the fact that we were notified about mom and woken up about it hurt it, you know? And it seems like earthquakes, and it just seems like
a lot of
happened like right in the middle of the night.
Certain things happen in the middle of the night. Yeah, they do.
And another thing I think we should talk about is the fact that sometimes when I call or you call me and we start off with, you know, hey, or, you know, or we have a, what's the word? Like we answer with kind of like it's a tone that could be construed as this isn't good.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's times where Todd would say, first of all, is everything all right?
Yeah.
You know,
what's wrong? Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I guess I'm the only one who has to deal with that.
With the fear thing. I think you're just, cause you have a lot, you have a lot of kids, first of all.
I think you got
a lot of running around elements, you know, going around.
Loose ends.
Yeah. Especially Royal's older, so he's on his own now.
And Taj, it's now that you say that, he's been a big fear for me,
yeah.
You know, because, you know, he's on his own. He's trying to find himself. He's trying to do his thing. And it's tough as a parent because you want to give him space to do that. You don't want to coddle him. You don't want to direct him. You just want to be there to support him. But at the same time, you know, life's hard. And you know, it's a struggle for a lot of our young ones, and that worries me, you know, and so it's not easy. It's not easy at all. I think one thing I want to say too is I had a talk with a friend, Lloyd,
uh-huh.
Lloyd Winston, and I told him about this.
Mm.
And you know what he said?
What?
He goes, this is solvable.
Oh.
And I was very interested. I said, well, please enlighten me because it's something that's really been bothering me.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And you know what he said?
What?
He said, this is what I want you to do. I don't want you to, I'm like, it's like a cliffhanger, right? He said, I don't want you to, when you go to bed, I don't want you to go to bed like an hour before, put your phone away. And then he said, also, when you wake up, make sure all your notifications are off.
Mm. Okay.
And I've done that. It's been about 3 weeks and I've been so much better.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was like, what do you mean by that? You know, and he's like, well, you know, I see you just got a CNN breaking news update.
Yeah.
And he's like, read it. And it was something negative.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, when you're waking up seeing all that.
That's how you start your day.
And that's how you're starting your day. So I stopped, I unfollowed that CNN notification and any other news type of notifications. And it's
made me. You watch the news a lot?
No. And that's why I followed him in the first place,
because
I didn't want to be absent of everything that's going on.
It's the problem. I used to follow CNN and all that stuff. It's just the problem is everything's a travesty or everything's a catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, hey, so and so, you know, saved a kitten from, you know, the tree, you know, good heartfelt thing. It's always like. 10 people were shot here, you know, or, you know, asteroid coming to,
yeah.
You know.
Do you watch the news?
No.
At all, Tosh?
No.
So how do you get your news?
I used to get it from, like, comedy people, you know. That was because then there's some comedy to it, so it balanced it. So I would get some education.
What do you mean comedy people?
late night talk show hosts.
Okay.
You know, they would when they would talk about certain events and stuff like that, they would make jokes about it too. So mm-hmm. it never felt as heavy. Now I don't really, I kind of follow it on Twitter a little, but I don't, it's, there's bad news everywhere. Yeah. That's the thing, especially if you can't control it and you can't contribute to it. Like right now, we have a lot of problems with guns right now in terms of, and shootings.
Yeah.
You know, like right, I feel helpless. Like there's not really anything I can do, you know, besides when voting comes around and all that stuff. But right now, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
In that way. I mean, I can raise our voice. We could all raise our voices, but that doesn't seem to be doing anything. So
what's your take on Walmart today or yesterday?
I think, you know, those kind of.
Do you know what happened?
Yeah.
Okay. Explain.
Didn't they ban sales of
certain firearms?
And then they also made it where the open carry, like, or where you can carry your weapons into the store or something like that.
I'm not sure.
I think that was another thing they did where they, you know, because people were walking into the store with weapons.
Yeah.
I think that was the second part of it. I think it's definitely a big start. The hard thing is it's hard for me. I mean, I played every video game under the sea. We've played with toy guns and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's just at some point it becomes like I don't get the fascination of wanting to have a gun to the point where it's hurting other people. That's the thing. Like,
I think most gun owners, they feel it's
protection. Yeah.
You know, and they, especially in today's world, they want to always be able to protect themselves.
I get it. But there's certain guns that can do that.
I agree.
That's the thing. I mean, I'm not for it or whatever because I don't like guns in general. Yeah. But
you can understand that.
I can understand that. But then when they start going to the, you know, AR-15s and all that.
Automatics
and the AK-40, you know, 47s. That's just like, that's guns I play with on Call of Duty. You know, I know what that does. And it's like, that's not for hunting. That's not for protection. That's for shooting things up.
Yeah, yeah. And here's my take. I mean, we don't really talk about gun laws because I haven't done the research. And like you, I didn't grow up wanting guns or being around guns. But I feel like for people, you know, some people will say that there's just a thrill that you get shooting those kind of guns. My opinion, they should just maybe be legal at gun
certain spots,
shooting ranges.
Like in Vegas, there's shooting ranges.
Yeah. Where you can only shoot that specific
gun. Yeah, then it's fine. Like that's, it's controlled and all that stuff. And if you really have the thrill of the hunt, then use a bow and arrow.
Yeah, there you go.
Go the old school.
There you go. Well,
spears.
I just want to put in my two cents. I have to respect, I am an American. I live here in the States, and I have to respect, but at the same time, if I had it my way, there would be no guns.
Yeah, I think the thing is, the only thing I just say is that I'm a very selfless person. Like, I'll give up something if it's going to help the majority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll do that any day. If someone said right now, chocolate's killing everyone, and you know, like mm-hmm. that we just found out and we have to ban chocolate, I'm not going to be saying, I want my chocolate, and you know, just because I, you know, you guys do whatever you want with your chocolate, but
it's not fair for me to have to suffer.
Yeah, suffer
my life.
Yeah. See, I'm not like that.
I'm not either.
I'll be like, okay, ban chocolate because it'll help everyone, and that's how I've lived my life. And so I don't know, that's a selfless way. But I think that's not what society is. Everyone's about, I need to protect me. It's about me. Yeah. And it's about my thrill and what I care about. And that was in Texas or that was in Florida or whatever. That's not here.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Okay. And we're going to stay on the fear theme, Taj.
Yes.
Why does it sound like you're going in and out?
I don't know.
Is your mic turned?
It is a little. And I should know this because I have this mic.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me mute you so you can fix it.
All right.
There you go. Much better, man.
There's like a short, though, it feels like. Too.
Yeah. Just don't touch the wire. Don't touch the cord. Anyway, so we talked about waking up with fear. It's something that I was struggling with, you know, 6 months, a year, maybe even 2 years. It had kept escalating, and me turning off notifications, me closing the phone earlier and just putting myself in a better mental space prior to going to sleep and waking up knowing that I'm not going to get some bad news from a notification really helped. So anyone out there who's going through that, I would advise you to follow Mr. Lloyd's advice because it's worked wonderfully for me. But with that said, there's another fear I want to talk about. And it's not a fear that I generally have now, but I have to be honest. I used to have this fear a little bit as a child, as a kid. And I don't think I've ever shared this,
mm-hmm.
but I like prior to mom's passing, I remember going through a phase where I felt like someone important was going to pass soon to me. Did you ever go through anything like that?
Yeah, that's, I think that, well, I can't say it's normal, but I it was normal for me. I always felt that way until mom passed, and then it changed everything.
Taj, me too. And I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
And I'm so curious to know if other kids go through that or other people go through that. Do you, and it's not one of those things where, like, if you think about it, of course there's a fear, and then you start saying, dang, that would be awful. For me, it was like, I felt like someone close to me was not going to be around long. And I don't know if it's like some type of foreshadowing, but it was never my brothers, you know?
Yeah,
It was always like, you know, an elder, important family member to me.
Watch yourself. I'm elder and important family member.
You did go through that?
Yeah, I think so. Especially because it's a you know, a parent, or if it's a figure, that something that you look towards or you look for in that way, that kind of is supposed to lead you. It's almost that when that fear of like, okay, you're being led by nothing now in that way. And that's how with, I think, my fear was always with the parent, was always that I was going to be by myself in a way, you know, in terms of not knowing a direction to go. Because I really do, I did with mom, obviously, but I just stood with pops. I respect their opinion and their guidance in that way. And so I've always listened to elders. That's one thing about me, whether it's good or bad. I've always respected elders and listened to them. Didn't always have to agree with them, but I always listened to what they said. Even the rambling ones, you know, the older parents or older grandparents that rambled or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, there's nuggets in there, some wisdom in there from life. And so I don't know, TJ. I think that's natural. And from what I'm seeing, you know, from the Twitter and stuff like that, you know, Toria was talking about. She says, since I've become a parent, I'm literally always imagining the worst case scenario in my head of every situation with my baby, getting down the stairs and falling down, getting in the car and thinking of accidents, and at least I'm being more careful.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, because I can tell you the first literally 3 to 4 months of Taylor's life was beyond actually was horrible for me.
In terms of that fear?
The fear that I was going to lose her.
Yeah.
And I actually told Auntie Janet that. I did. I texted her, and she said, oh, that's in, you know, she was very supportive of that. But because I said, I don't know if you went through this, but I have this fear that she's, you know, like it's too good to be true in a way, you know. And that might be because of mom, you know, that if something's that important to me got taken from me.
Abruptly.
And so that every little cough, I was paranoid. Like I couldn't sleep the first couple months but now she's like more resilient, so I'm a little like less,
you know, Taj. I think that's what it is. I'm sorry, everyone who's listening. It's his first time.
Not usually in Terrell's chair. That's the problem too. It's the angling. It's throwing me off.
I think that's what it is, Taj. I think there's phases where our kids, because obviously for all of us parents, our loved ones are like everything.
Yeah.
And there's phases where we feel we worry about how in control they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, the infancy is one when they move out and they become a young adult. Hard,
yeah.
And it's funny, Taj, because I think that's also correlated. You know, like I said, it's been 1 year since Royal's kind of been on his own. You know, he's been at another property, but he's trying to be his own individual. And it's been hard for me, you know what I mean? Because it's like, it's just hard. It's hard, you know. He's almost 20.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
he still will always be your baby.
Yeah.
In that way, like that's how I look at it in terms of that. No matter what age.
Okay, we're gonna take a phone call. Who do we have with us on the Power of Love?
Hello, it's Carol. How you guys doing?
Good, hey, Carol. How you doing? Jinx.
I'm on the mend. I fractured my shoulder, and I just came back to work. It happened like almost three months ago, and everything. But my biggest fear was when I was going up. My parents were older when they had me. They were 39. I kept thinking they were going to die when I was a kid, but I was really lucky. I got be with them when I grew up and everything.
That's great.
So I was always scared they were going to die because they were older.
So you did have that fear too, Carol?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm curious to know, do you think that fear was based on the fact that they were older when they had
yes.
you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, and our parents were young.
Yeah. But did you see other older people dying around you that triggered that, or what was it?
No, it really wasn't that much when I was growing up. There wasn't that many people dying. My aunts and uncles, they were much older when they died and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of weird, and my parents were really strong and everything, but I'm not as strong as they were. I don't know how they did it, my mom was so energetic and everything, and I certainly don't have that.
I think it's different times, Carol, to be honest with you. I think you do have that. I think we all have that. It's just that they had a different resilience that they had to, because a lot of the stuff they had to do, was hands-on, or they had to roll up their sleeves and do it. A lot of the stuff we have to do is automated. It's computers.
And to piggyback on that, when you do hands-on and you do it yourself, there's a certain sense of pride and confidence you get within yourself that makes you stronger, quote-unquote stronger.
And you can tackle something. Mm. Yeah.
And my parents didn't get the flu that much, but when I got to be a teenager, I started getting sick a lot and everything. Mm. I kept thinking, how do they do it? Pick me up from school when I was younger and everything. And a long time ago, I had to pick up my neighbor's kid. And I go, gee, how did my mom and dad do this one?
Yeah.
But I think they had stronger genes in those days. I'm not as strong as they are. It seems like I'm not as energetic as my mother was.
Yeah. You're not alone with that, too. A lot of people feel that sentiment, and again, I think it's part of it, I think, is that the fact that they didn't have the technology, we always saw them busy. We saw them doing things. We saw them getting things done. And, even to go open or deposit a check, they had to go in there or balance their checkbook. They were working, and nowadays we just open an app. And our checkbook's already balanced, So I think subconsciously, in a way, we feel like we're not doing anything or we're not living up to a certain level of, quote unquote, getting things done, So I think that's a struggle that we all have to deal with and understand.
Yeah. And then my other fear is of earthquakes.
Oh, yeah.
I got hurt in it and everything, but this time I didn't get hurt and I didn't run.
Smart, you didn't run.
But then we were centered, it's always been. I've always feared it because I got hurt, and everything. Yeah.
So how was this different that this time around you didn't get hurt and you didn't run?
I was already hurt with a fractured shoulder.
So you couldn't run.
I said, if I run, I'm going to fracture something else. And 2 days ago, I kind of overdid it and my knee kind of went out, and it's a little hard to walk right now, but it's getting a little better.
Mm.
So next earthquake, if knock on wood, if there is one, what's going to go through your head? Because are you going to run?
She's going to power through it.
No, I'm not going to run.
Yeah. I've heard only horror stories about people running. Remember our cousin, two of our cousins, I'm not going to mention their names, but they ran straight into each other. They were siblings and it was because they panicked. They ran smack into each other and knocked each other down. I've never ran on those things. I've been calm and collected.
Yeah.
In a 1994 earthquake, I fell and broke my elbow, and I had to spend 2 days in the hospital.
See.
So it's like, no, I don't want to do that again.
See, that's the thing. So a lot of people I heard got hurt by the reaction, which is understandable. I mean,
it's just interesting because I never figured that. I never put two and two together. I didn't know, and it's common sense. I just never really went through my mind that those kind of incidences, when there's a tragedy behind it, can trigger the future of you being panicked. And in Carol's case, it's earthquake. She got hurt.
Yeah.
And now when there's an earthquake, she panics because that was pain.
Yeah.
For me, it's like the middle of the night is the worst time to get any type of phone call because that's when I found out my mother had passed.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting, but I think that's a very true thing. And I'm wondering, you know, I don't know if it's with therapy or what, but how you can kind of help yourself get through those moments.
Yeah. I guess I have to get well physically first, because it's like I'm a little limited, you know, and everything, but I'm happy and able to work and everything. I was bored being off of work for 2 months.
well, Carol, thank you for calling in and contributing to the show. You take care of yourself. You heal up.
You too.
And it's always wonderful hearing your voice.
Yeah, thank you for calling in.
You take care.
All right, Carol. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I love that. That little, I'm not going to even mimic it, but the hang-up sound. Taj, I don't know, man. I it's something that I'm going to, it's one of my goals in the next 3 to 6 months, to really pinpoint what's causing any type of fear. Because I feel it's contributing to anxiety.
That was my next. Does fear lead to anxiety?
It has to. But I don't feel like I struggle with anxiety. But I do feel like fear for many leads there. You know, and I'm wondering if there's ways we can help fix that. We have another phone call on the line. So, first of all, hello. And who is this on the Power of Love show?
Hi, it's Meredith.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. I was calling you when you guys were talking about fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Earlier, we first brought it up. I think that's been the biggest thing in my life. It's fear. Especially waking up at night, being afraid. Everything you said today and the examples today, I basically go through that.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as waking up at night, I do. I get nervous if I get a call in the middle of the night, because I have received those calls where someone important has passed away. And it's scary, but I also just automatically wake up, I guess, now being a mom, I wake up always nervous about, okay, what if this happens to the kid? I even get nervous, like, oh, what if I'm not going to be able to take care of the kid? Especially since I moved to California, I'm like, okay, please, you know, make sure I can always take care of my roof over their head, everything like that. And I worry now, it gets even worse, because now I'm about to be a grandmother.
Yeah.
I'm worried about a grandchild, but I can definitely identify with what you guys are talking about today.
Yeah, it's a real thing, you know, and it's a real thing, and it's so interesting, because when it's happening to me, I feel like I'm the only one who's kind of really going through it. I don't feel like most people go through it.
Oh.
And what's so interesting, in a small, selfish way, hearing other people's experience, it's a relief for me. Because then it's like, I'm not going crazy. I'm not mad. It's just a common human instinct.
Yeah, fear is definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But did you have anything?
No. I mean, I think that's maybe the difference between you and I. I always knew other people had fears and phobias and certain things. And when I say fear and phobia, I'm not talking about like, oh, fear of flying. I'm talking about like, you know, those wake up and fear that, you know, something was going to happen to a family member or something like that.
Yeah. I think we need to do a show with, first of all, thank you for the phone call.
Yeah.
Greatly appreciated.
One more thing I just wanted to tell you guys too, TJ, when you said someone told you about the negative thing before you go to sleep.
Yes.
I did have to stop doing that. I watched the news at night and I had to stop doing that, because I know in the middle of the night that does affect you, right?
That's right. So, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That.
And what do you do to combat that? What do you just stop?
I think she just stopped watching news at night.
Yeah, and please don't watch. Don't keep your TV on either. That's
a lot of people
thing.
Will fall asleep to their TV.
Don't do that. That's one of the things I learned a long time ago. Do not sleep with your TV on. It's just,
especially if it's news.
Yeah, but mostly.
No, I listen to rain sounds. I put my phone down to rain noises.
Okay.
And you know, nature sounds.
Okay. That's great.
That's where I'm at. Ocean waves.
Yeah.
well, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so
we
much.
Really appreciate you calling in. So thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
We'll answer one more call, Taj.
Yeah.
Who's on the line with us on the Power of Love show?
Hi, this is Tiffany in Texas.
Hey, how are you, Tiffany
Hi,
in
Tiffany.
Texas? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Good. I'm curious to know your take on this.
My thing actually kind of incorporates both of the points you made about the fear, of course, and then the situation with gun control or lack thereof.
Okay.
Because my fear for a very, very long time has been getting shot. And I mean, I live right across the street from a Walmart. I went to Walmart earlier this morning to get groceries. So you know, the whole time I was walking around Walmart, I was kind of looking over my shoulder the whole time.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, let me ask you a question.
And worried.
Have you heard gunshots and seen people get shot or anything like that?
In my old neighborhood, yeah, I heard gunshots.
Yeah. Quite a bit.
There was one time. I'm sorry, what?
Quite a bit.
It wasn't the best neighborhood.
Okay. And I'm that's obviously because I that's something Tiffany, I'm going to come right back to you because I want you to finish. But just real quick, that's something I've never been fearful of getting shot. But at the same time,
it's not been
I haven't heard many gunshots, you know, so and people are like, you know, that's a gunshot. I know the difference. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know the difference.
Firecracker and gunshot. You don't know the difference.
Same thing. Yeah, okay, Tiffany, go ahead. I'm sorry. So you can continue.
Okay. It's just that, like, the closest I've ever come to it, it wasn't a gunshot, but it was really weird because in my old house, I could walk two blocks down to a little convenience store and get something to eat. And I went and got a soda, and I was literally standing, like, a block away from the store talking with one of my neighbors, and it was just, it looked like cops because just all cruisers and stuff just showed up all at once and besieged the place. And I'm like, what is going on?
Mm.
And I was standing there, he was in his yard raking leaves, and we're standing there just looking like, what is happening here?
So like just
and he was like,
so what, cops came,
sorry,
and cops came and did what? I missed that.
They were arresting somebody.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't know what happened. The guy ran in his house and ran into my house, and I'm really glad I moved into a better neighborhood. But
yeah. Since you've moved, has that subsidized? Has that went down, that fear?
It was fine until they had the shooting at Walmart, and now Walmart is a two-lane street from my apartment complex.
So now that's
come
kind
home.
Of like,
yeah.
Dang. Yeah.
That's worries me. And I mean, I'm in Texas, it's an open carry state. So, I mean, you know, it's just guns are a way of life. I grew up in a house with, let me see, 3 guns that I think. And I know my father always had one under the seat of his car because we had an accident when I was very, very young. And I got injured. My father gave me to my aunt. And the last thing I remember seeing was my father getting in his car, reaching down, getting the gun, and driving off to try to find the guys that caused the accident and caused me to get hurt.
Mm.
He didn't find them, thank God. But,
yeah.
You know, that's just a clear thought in my head, always knowing, okay, there's a gun under the seat in case something happens. There's a gun in X room, this room, in case something happens. And, you know, I mean, that's just, I guess, a way of life. But, like, I had access to guns before I even knew what a gun was. Never had a desire to fire one. I've never personally fired one.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time the gun has been fired on my property is for New Year's when my dad likes shooting a gun.
Yeah, I'm.
And I mean, it's just.
I'm wondering if Tiffany's was raised around guns.
Yeah.
You know, so for her, you know, that may. But you never saw anyone get shot, or you never heard a story about how or a family member get shot or anything like
that.
It's
on the news all the time.
So yeah, but I'm curious to know if
I had
even
an
more.
Uncle get shot, but that was way before I was born.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I
and my father has been shot. So
that I think,
but
that's,
he was in the army.
Okay. So yeah, I don't know how to explain that besides the fact that just guns have been a big part of your life. And you know, they've been, I shouldn't say big part of your life, but you know what I mean? You grew up around them because what you're saying, all those incidences, I can't even name one of those for me. You know, I can't even picture my father holding a gun, you know, and it's just the truth, you know, whether I don't even know if he had, I would assume he didn't, but see, Taj knows he did, but it was not something I knew. It wasn't something that we, probably because mom didn't want it, you know? And it's just interesting to me because that fear that you have of being shot is one that I don't carry. You know, I don't have that fear at all.
I have been shot, but not by a bullet. One of my idiot cousins shot me with a BB that they had gotten for Christmas.
See, that's not funny. Why are you laughing, Tom?
You laughed first.
No, you did. We can rewind the tape. Yeah, yeah. But that can't help. That can't help your situation. You know what I mean? And that I've never been shot with a BB. My mom would go crazy if someone shot one of us with the BB. So I think people knew my mom could get crazy and they weren't playing that. So I think our lives were much different than that. And therefore I don't have that fear.
Yeah.
So. Well, it didn't really hit me. I'm glad that we were arguing. My cousins were, I don't know, maybe 12, 13, and I was about maybe 5 or 6. And they were out shooting at trees. And we went to tell them something. And my cousin shot his gun, and it ricocheted off the tree and hit me. And I started screaming. And, you know, all their cousin, their little sister saw. And all she hollered was, "Oh, my God, Mom, Aunt Rita, Tiffany's been shot."
See that?
And I could hear the adults in the house a few yards away. You can hear glasses breaking, people running.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically I just had a pretty nice bruise.
But you know what? That all contributes to it. You know, in my opinion, that all contributes to that fear. Is there any other fears you go through or wake up to or that you have?
Well, I mean, my greatest fear was, you know, finding my parents, you know, like dead or something. Mm. But I mean, you know, they're both have since moved on, but they were in, you know, appropriate settings, hospital settings. And I didn't have to have the, I guess, the trauma of walking up and saying, you know, laying my hand on a person and being like, "Oh God, you know, they're cold. Now I have to try to call 911, you know, just going through that whole horror scenario.
Yeah.
I was spared that because they were in the hospital. But right now, my main thing is my best friend is a teacher. Ebony is a teacher. And I'm always worried about, what if that one unhappy kid just comes out of his backpack one day?
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious to know if she has that fear. Has she expressed that fear to you?
I don't think she does, but I mean, I worry about everything. So.
Yeah, yeah. And again,
because she's teaching elementary school kids, but
you never know. It's happening everywhere. Still. Yeah, it's happening at all levels. So, all right, Tiffany.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, thank you for your contribution to the show. Thanks for calling in and saying your piece. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you for hearing it. I appreciate it
all right,
so much.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye, y'all.
We got some Twitter statements.
Let's hear it, Tosh.
Yours truly, April, said, "Because I always seem to lose a family member around New Year's Eve, so I started to fear seeing that time of the year for a long time."
Mm.
Yeah, that would be hard. Because if you do have like a repetition of a certain time period, you probably would be like nervous around that time period. Like,
see, I don't think I would.
You don't think if something happened every November to you for 2-3 years?
I don't think I'd even realize it.
Really? You would realize it.
You think so?
I realize this. In August is not even a bad... I mean, it is because of mom passing, yeah. But I realize August affects my mood.
In a bad way?
Yeah.
Why? Just because of mom, or is there another incident?
Then I have to think about Uncle Michael. And even though it's his birthday,
yeah,
it's still thinking about him gone.
See, and that's the closest situation that I think would change my mood.
Yeah.
You know, because they're both within two days apart.
Yeah.
And they're both at the end of August. But we just experienced that. And I didn't have anything.
Yeah, see, it's weird because I've noticed, it took me 2 years to notice that I had a pattern of this.
Yeah.
That I get moody and I get short, like in terms of like,
wow,
and not talkative. Like, and so this year
you're not talkative anyway, man.
Well, this year I actually refused to talk to certain, like interviews and stuff. I was just like, August is not going to be a good time.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, for me, it really affected me.
Yeah.
And I started to know about that. But
I think in yours truly, April, I love saying that name, but in April's situation, I think the fact that it's a specific date, you know, like Francis lost her father on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that's hard because I always worry about her on Christmas Day.
How's she going to be?
It's such an important day in the calendar year that, you know, a big trauma like that happens.
I think one of my friends did too, and that is a hard day for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Marlene says, "Last year an uncle died suddenly driving of a heart attack, and it created a terrible fear that my partner would die suddenly. It took several months with panic attacks, basically."
Wow.
But she said that like the DDJF community helped her.
Oh, wonderful.
It. But it's just like, but wow.
I'm curious to know, and we won't have time to figure that out now unless she calls in, but I'm curious to know how she was able to deal with that, how she's you know, quote unquote, graduated to not being so fearful of that, you know. But it's this has been a really productive show for me because I'm realizing that life's struggles and tragedies around you affect your mindset going forward, you know. Any others, Taj? Those were good.
No, not right now. I mean, those were, I was just thinking, I was kind of had a blank stare, but now I was thinking because when mom passed, it was really weird. I woke up feeling the struggle. Like I woke up literally before the phone call feeling like I was, something was holding me down and like that. So when the phone call happened, we weren't told mom had passed. We were just told something happened to our mom. Get here right away. I sensed in my heart of hearts something already tragic had happened.
I did too.
And that, so it was, it wasn't even a question for me. Yeah. It just felt like that. And so it's kind of interesting in a way that you feel that and you know.
I completely agree, Taj, because I remember that night morning waking up and just feeling like this is not feeling right. Yeah. You know, and it's like, there's such a high chance my mother is not with me.
Yeah.
There's such, and then it was just
confirmed. Which is not the way you should be thinking when there's been an accident. It could have been, you know.
Wow. All right, Taj, anything else you want to share before I close out the show?
No, I think that fear in general, it's something that everyone goes through, everyone deals with. I think that's one of the most important things to realize, you know, whatever fear it is or anxiety you have, chances are a lot of people have it. Mm-hmm. I always go on the internet and make sure, read a little about it. And that, then it makes me feel good that know that other people are going through it. So you don't feel alone.
Right. And there's, we've done a couple shows on fear, on how to get through it, how to work with it and how to overcome it.
Yeah.
So make sure you check out prior shows.
Yeah.
If this is something you want more information on.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. But this was fun. This was good for me because, like I said, I'm dealing with that now, you know, with a young one, but also an elder one and elder ones that are in that, you know, that funky age where, you know, it just seems like I just worry about them all the time, you know, and it's not fun.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Wait, we do have one more thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, someone else just quickly tweet. Mary says, I get scared when someone doesn't answer the phone. When I call, I think something has happened to them.
Yeah.
Well, you're in the wrong era because most people don't answer the phone.
I was about to say, I don't go through that at all.
I'm lucky not to go through that. I can understand that, though, because you're wondering why didn't they pick up the phone. But
see, I just feel like if I called you and you didn't answer, you were busy.
Yeah. That's a mind. Well, that's because we're not really answers of the phone.
Yeah. So interesting. That all.
Is... You are a high up on the list, though. If you tarot, like if my brothers or my dad call, I will answer, even if I'm somewhat busy.
Yeah.
Other people will be like, okay, I'm busy.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna voicemail.
I think it's also a reason why it doesn't concern us is because Pops is terrible at answering the phone. And has always been.
He's terrible at answering the phone and getting them on the phone.
Many of my elder family. So it's one of those things where if you call him 10 times in a row, you don't hear, he doesn't answer. It's like, man, pick up your phone. It's never a fear thing.
No, you just go on Twitter and see that he's performing somewhere or whatever. Exactly. You're like, okay, he's fine.
All right, Taj, I think that's it, man.
Yeah.
We're going to close out the show real quick. I just want to read one thing.
Yeah.
ADEC, the Association for Death Education Counseling. It's an international professional organization dedicated to promoting excellence and recognizing diversity in death education, care of the dying, grief counseling, and much more. The website is www.adec.org. If you are struggling with a loved one who has recently passed, or you just want to learn more about death and how to deal with it, make sure you go check out that website. I don't even know if they know we're directing people there, but I did look at it quite a bit a while ago, and it was very productive and very informative for people. So I think that's a good start to look at things. But in the meantime, we're going to wrap up this show. It was fun. It was educational. And again, we will be back next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Anything else, Taj?
That's it.
All right. Adios, everyone. Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.